Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you on this Thursday, September the 17th, 2020, 16 and a half minutes past the hour. And we are heading right into fall. Can you believe that? Fall will be here on Monday, I think, is where we are at right now. Now, I want to remind everybody, we've got a lot of sports news coming at us here. High school sports are playing right now. Tomorrow night is probably the biggest rivalry we have here in Marion, when Pleasant will play River Valley. We have the Big Ten returning in late October, which we know now. So tomorrow morning, and I believe it's starting at 10 a.m., although it may start earlier. We go on the air tomorrow at 8 o'clock. But I know at least from 10 a.m. through 1 o'clock, we will have a guest with us tomorrow who certainly knows something about sports. So you will not want to miss that. And we'll announce that later on tonight on Facebook. So stay tuned for that. Also, don't forget, we were talking about the archives of this station. All the interviews that we have done, pretty much dating back to January of 2016, are on the website, WWGH1071.com. And a lot of people listen to this station on the TuneIn app. A lot of people say we're not in the listening area, or we're at work and we don't have a radio with us. Well, here's what you do. You go to your app store on your smartphone or listening device, and you download TuneIn. T-U-N-E-I-N, it's absolutely free. Download the app, search WWGH, and you can listen to this station anywhere in the world. That's all you got to do. It's just that simple. Who used to say that? It's just that simple. That used to be somebody's tagline. I can't remember whose tagline it was, but that was somebody's tagline at one point. Our guest for this hour, I think, will be joining us momentarily. It's one of those things, again, live radio, like we started out in hour number one, where the mic was not exactly working as we would like it to work. Our guest, I think, is having maybe a couple issues this morning that we will iron out here momentarily. So stick with us. Hopefully our guest will join us momentarily. Now, there is a story that I do want to tell as we wait for our guest here, and I've been waiting to tell this story all week, and I just have not had time to do it. I was going to do it in hour number one, but we got off on another subject, and I appreciate that because I like the subject we were talking about in hour number one. So here's the story. This past weekend, I was going out to dinner. But of course, in this age we live in now, when you go out to dinner, a lot of times what that means is you're going through a fast food line. So that's what I was doing last Saturday night. I'm going through a fast food line. So I get in the line and place the order back at the window. Well, I guess it's not a window, back at the speaker. I place the order and I move up to the window where you give your money. And the person who is giving me my money, or the person in the first window, kind of leans out the window, very confidential-like. And they almost lean into the car. And she says to me, now wait for this. She looks right in my face, and she says, "Do you want a cookie? Do you want a cookie?" Now, at this point, I'm thinking, this is very odd. Do I look like somebody whose blood sugar is running low? Do I need a cookie? So, I say back to her, no, I do not need a cookie. Now, see, we're having a deep conversation. Now, she stays hanging out the window at this point, and she says to me, now here's the follow-up. She says, well, your bill is $26.66. And at this point, I'm still not picking up on what any of this means, because I'm still thrown on the do you want a cookie question. So I'm trying to figure out why she's being so confidential and why she's leaning out the window telling me how much my bill is. So I say to her, oh, okay, I'll pay the bill, $26.66. And she says, I think you might want to change this. See, so now it's all coming together. Do you want a cookie is because I need to change the price of my bill. But why do I need to change the price of my bill? That's what we're all up in the air on at this point. And I say, well, is there any particular reason I need to change the price of my bill? And she said, because a lot of people get superstitious if there is, or there are, three sixes in your bill together. And the bill being $26.66 were three sixes. So I said to her, I said, I'm not really sure. You know, I know what that means in theory, what that's a symbol for, but I'm not really sure how that appearing in my bill at a fast food place is a problem. I'm not really sure why this is going to give me issues. So I just paid the bill and went on about my way. But now here's my question about this. We all know what 666 is supposed to be in representation of. That is no secret. We all know what that's supposed to mean. But if it appears in your bill, if it appears anywhere, what is that supposed to mean? What was supposed to happen to me because that was in my bill? That I don't understand. Now, I know about all the other superstitions. I know, you know, don't let a black cat walk in front of you. I know about don't break a mirror. I know about don't walk under a ladder. You know, I know about all this sort of thing. But in this particular situation, I have no idea. It was all very confidential, to be honest with you. All very peculiar. But we got through it on Saturday night. But if anybody has any idea as to what that was all about, shoot me an email, scott@wwgh1071.com, or go to our Facebook page, WWGH107.1 FM, and shoot me a message as to what that was all about. Now, here's a real touchstone on this program. If you were listening about a month ago, we had one of the dear friends, longtime guests on this program, the Queen of Helpful Hints, Heloise, back on the program. And it had been like a year, maybe more than a year, since she'd been on the program, which was totally insane to me, because she used to be on once a month, and we would always have a lot of fun with Heloise. Well, guess what? After that appearance that went so well last month, we have got ourselves back on track. And from here on out, Heloise will be appearing every third Thursday from 9:10 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on this program, like we're going to do today. And guess what? With fall upon us, nobody better to visit with than author, magazine columnist, all-around great person, the undisputed queen of helpful hints, the legendary Heloise. Heloise, how are you?
Well, good morning from San Antonio, Texas.
How is it out there, Heloise?
Well, it's San Antonio. You know, what I love about living in particularly San Antonio. You know, I'm a Texas gal. I was born in Waco, Texas, and my family on my father's side and my mother's side are all from Texas. My father's, this is a really funny one, my father's mother, Florence McCullough Cruz, C-R-U-S-E, used to always brag that she was the first female child born in Rosebud, Texas.
Oh.
Yes.
Now, can we lay that down as being a fact?
Oh, it is. It is fact.
It is fact. We have to. We have to put that down.
I was very young, and I remember her saying it to me one time when I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 or something. And when you're that age, you know, oh yeah, grandma, right? And then when she passed away, it upset me for some reason. And of course, it did my grandmother. But remember, my father was in the Air Force, Lieutenant Colonel Cruz, and he was a pilot. And we moved base to base or station to station, as most military do. So I didn't get to see her that often. But when I did, it was just so special. And I just remember her saying, I was the first female child born in Rosebud, Texas.
Well, you know, I feel that any accomplishment that you have like that, you have to cling to for the rest of your life.
Yes, you do. And I, you know, when my mother, the original Heloise, started the column, we lived in Honolulu, Hawaii. My father was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base. And that was back when making that was 1958 through 62, when making a long-distance phone call was very expensive, difficult to do, and generally you only did it when there was either very good news, so-and-so has had another baby or a new baby, or not good news to say so-and-so has passed on. So I remember us literally going out to Hickam Air Force Base at what was called the Radio Shack. And the ham operators would contact someone they were having trying to get to here, and somebody from here would say, I can pass you through to so-and-so in El Paso, and I bet he knows somebody in Rosebud, and I'll be done if they didn't.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, Heloise, because I was thinking this morning. Now, we've got a great topic today because fall is such a great time for so many people, and in here, and here in the East Coast, here in the Midwest, I guess we should say, we call it autumn,
right?
And we like autumn. So I want to get to this, but here's I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here.
I bet I can handle.
Oh, I know you. I know you can. Because here's what I want to do. Because the audience knows what I'm going to do here.
Oh,
they do. Well, here's what it is. Because I've already handled this problem, but I'm not going to tell you how I handled it.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to know what the Heloise thing would have been to do, and then I'm going to tell you what I did. And it sounds like a silly problem, but this is the God's honest truth as to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here at the radio station, we have facilities, restrooms.
Yes.
That we were on a floor with some other offices, and we all share the same facilities.
Correct.
And but we all, it's not public, so every office has a key.
Correct.
To the facilities.
I understand.
Okay. So for the first 9 months, there was never any problem with this. We had the key hanging on a hook.
Oh no.
Oh, I know. Well, this is interesting. We had the key hanging on a hook in the lobby.
Yes.
And only we knew what it was, people who were here. And so that way it was accessible and nobody put it in their pocket and you could go to the facilities.
Right.
So about two, three months ago, something like that, one morning I come in and the key is gone.
Oh, no.
Yes, which now means I can't go to the restroom.
Oh, no.
So, I'm thinking this is trouble.
Yeah.
So, I come in and the key is gone. And so the person who was here the night before, because I know it was here the day before, and I emailed the person who was here the night before, and I said, where's the key? And they said, well, I went to the facilities last night, and I don't know where it is. I think I might have left it in.
Oh, no.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. And I said to this person, see, this is how honest I am. That I'll say this. I said to the person, I said, well, the door locks from the outside, so how could you have locked it in there? It wouldn't have, if you left it in there, you couldn't have locked the door.
Oh, you mean if the door, okay, let me, here's the, put your Heloise hat on. You know, what I say, we're going to do a little Heloise sleuthing here. So are you saying to get out of the restroom, you have to use the key to unlock the door?
No, you unlock the door to get in.
To get in.
And then you're in.
Right.
And the door is unlocked.
Okay.
But when you leave, you have to lock it when you leave.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so there's no way you could lock the key inside.
Right.
Because it would still be unlocked if you left the key in there.
Correct.
Okay, so that's what I said to the person who said they think they left the key in the bathroom. And they said, I don't know, there was some confusion. I was getting no answers. All I knew is there was no key.
Yeah.
Well, they said, okay, well, we'll call the people who own the building and we'll get another key made. Okay.
I'm going to interject here. If you're doing that, and particularly in y'all's situation, get two made. And give the backup to someone.
Well, this is not part of the answer, but I will tell you, and I hope nobody's listening.
Uh-oh.
Who works here.
Uh-oh.
Because I did get two keys made, but I'm the only one who knows where the backup is.
That's okay.
Yeah. Because I feel that at this point, it's like the Wild West, everybody for themselves.
And having done radio for so long, I did radio back in the dark ages. I had my own radio show that I did from the house, my house, and that my husband built. And in fact, I'm in the studio right now. It's our rec room, and he petitioned part of it off. The station came and ran a dedicated line, and that is very expensive to my home. So that when I was on the air, there was no chance of being knocked off. However, and I knew the breaks very well. I'd be in my bathrobe and I'd have my cup of coffee, but I would wear a stopwatch around my neck. And the long break, usually at the bottom of the hour or the half hour, you have 4.4 minutes and 50 seconds before you come back on. Well, that's when I would hit the stopwatch, run out of the rec room, down the hallway, into the restroom, come back here, and made it every time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every time. Well, we had house guests one time, and I'm like, get out of the way! Get out of the way! And Dave's like, just get out of the way. We'll tell you later.
it becomes a thing. When we ordered, the first key still had not shown up. So what actually happened was when we ordered the second key, this is like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The key goes missing Wednesday night.
Oh, no.
Thursday morning, I realize the key is gone. And then Friday, now here's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Friday, I come in, and the new key is laying on the desk, and the old key has now returned to the hook, but nobody knows where it came from. This is when I take the second key and I hide it, because I figure this is going to be my key. But I let that, I figure, okay, isolated incident.
Right.
This, okay, so now we're good.
But it teaches you, And this is why I say to people when I'm doing shows like this, you know, if you've had a situation in your home or at office, something or other like that, and you resolved it, put your Heloise hat on and think, okay, I am not going to let this happen again. How can we prevent this dilemma? And if you think the process through, I always say one of my slogans is, think your plan, then plan it. Think first. Okay, I need to go to the restroom at 10:34 or 10:29:50. I'm looking at the clock. When I was doing it here or even at WFAA in Dallas, I would fly up there back in the dark ages. And the entire floor, the assistant producer would be standing in the hallway going, get out of the way! Get out of the way! Heloise is on the way to the restroom!
Right. Well, the prologue to this is... After I said, okay, everything's back to normal, everything's fine, about 2 weeks later, the key goes missing again.
Ay, ay, ay.
Now, at this point, I'm okay, because now I've got the hidden key.
Right.
But there are other people who are here throughout the day,
right,
and they've got to have a key. So what, because I'm not going to tell them where my key is.
No. Maybe.
Well, yeah. So, it goes up missing again. And this time, there's some blame. The person saying, well, I wasn't the last one in there.
Yeah,
so that was going on. And so I went out there, because it was clearly not on the hook. And I thought, well, maybe somebody dropped it on the floor. Where could it get to? So I go out there, and what had happened was, I don't know how, maybe somebody was out late the night before, I don't know. But they took the key, and it wasn't hanging on the key hook. But it was hanging on a hook where a picture was hanging. So, it was kind of camouflage.
I think somebody might have had a party at the station.
Might have had a little cocktail the night before. So, I put the key back where it was. And honestly, it was driving me nuts. So, that's the situation. Now, I've got a key. I'm safe now because I have one hidden stashed away that I will never tell everybody. But I don't want this key... That's the public key.
To go missing.
Right. So what do you do? Now, I know what I did, and it hasn't gone missing since, but I want to hear what you would do, and then I'll tell you what I did.
What I learned from radio stations when I would do book tour, when I had a new book, you know, you do 15 cities, 15 days, but you go back to the same stations, you get to know the people. And one of them, I learned from them, and it was Cleveland, Ohio. I can see it. Morning Exchange, and the sister was a radio station. They had made a huge key fob. I mean, about a piece of wood that was shaped very nicely, but about the size of a small paperback book. We're talking big. And they had painted it red. And I looked at that and I thought, well, what is this about? And the guy looked at me and went, this is brilliant. Nobody's going to put that in their pocket and forget. They're not going to, like, leave it in the restroom. It's big and red. Everybody can see it. It's not going to fall out of your pocket. And that is a lesson I took away and a hint that I shared with my readers.
But here's what I did. Now I'm feeling good, because what I did was, because that day I don't really get angry, but I was perturbed.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I did was I looked around the station. What don't we need here? What aren't we using? And what I found was there are some lights that are in the studio. And there was this big piece of white cord that came with the lights. That's never going to be used again. It's a big piece of plastic cord. So what I did was I put that big piece of plastic cord on the keychain, like you said, like the key fob, right. Nobody can put that in their pocket. Nobody's going to drop. You would see it.
Yes.
It's easy to see.
Yes.
And if you hung it on a picture on the wall, it's going to stick out.
Mm-hmm.
Big white cord. So that's how, and since then, the key has always been there.
And that is a really great hint for our listeners to take home, to think about at home, and particularly with many single family, you know, single parent, even double parent with kids, and they go off to school and they come back and parents are working, and people will hide a key somewhere and tell the children, you know, to put it back. So you want to be sure, and again, think the plan. What do we need to do? We need to have a backup key that everybody in the family knows where it is. Nobody else knows, but just in case. And you will find it gives you also what I like to call is a peace of mind. It gives you a little bit of calm in the middle of all the chaos. We've got the backup key. Nobody's going to lose it. That's the hint to take home.
So if you were to grade me on how I handled this, where would I be?
Oh, I'd give you, and you, please understand when you say that, I still have my teacher's certificate. I was going to teach mathematics. I was a double major, business and mathematics, and I had teachers along the way who had helped me, and I thought, you know, I'm going to help somebody else. So I was going to teach, and I was like, how can I really make this point to, and I did a lot of student teaching, and I did substitute teaching, you know, how can I make this point to these 7th or 8th or 9th graders, or, you know, maybe they're in 10th grade and they're really not thinking about math class. They're thinking about lunch, they're thinking about boys or girls or sports or something. How can I make the point? So what I would say to them is, all right, now, when you're at home or you're on your way home from school, what do you think about? Well, my mom's not going to be home because she works and my dad works, and I've got to find the key and get into the house and be sure everything is safe. I said, okay, run that process in your mind. Step it through, think about it 2 to 3 times, and by the time you get home, it will be second nature. It will be easy to do. You won't be standing there thinking, oh my gosh, what was I going to do, and where do we hide the key? And so children particularly, I always found when I was substitute teaching, and I would say to them, all right, hi, Miss so-and-so is not here today. I'm your substitute teacher. He or she has left me the lesson plan. I know what chapter you're on, and I know this subject very well. So don't try to fool me or trick me or ask me something that is not pertinent. And we'll get along. And there's always one kid. There's always one. And I finally, it was the same class about 4 times, and I knew. And I learned this from one of the teachers I was substitute teaching under. And she said, now think about this. The good kids who like this subject, who want to be in this class, want to learn, want to participate, they sit in the first 2, 3, or 4 rows. They're engaged. The ones that really don't want to be in this class, maybe they haven't done their homework or something, they sit in the back because they think you don't see them and you're not going to call on them. And I observed, and I usually found, if you're looking out at the classroom, it's usually that if I'm looking out directly at the classroom and there are X number of rows and everything, the far left back seat, because they think you're not going to see them and they're not going to participate. So I would always, sadly, make a point of calling on them. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, they had the answer. Now, they could be shy. A lot of students are shy. They may not want to speak up in class. They may be afraid to ask a question because they might, their peers might think they're stupid. And that is not the case. And it's always ask the question. There is most likely someone else or many someones in that class that they don't know the answer either. Don't be afraid to ask.
That's right, and you've always got to ask. So I think in this particular case that I think I'm bordering line on a B plus A.
I think you are.
All right. Well, see, and here was my other solution to this problem. I didn't go with this one, but I know that vinegar can fix anything.
Pretty much.
So I thought I would dip the keys in vinegar, and if they if they didn't show up, I would just start smelling people, and eventually those keys would pop up.
Well, okay. Generally, when vinegar dries, there is no lingering odor. If it's regular household vinegar, you know, Heinz vinegar, the store brand, whatever, that you buy, it's usually 4.5 or 5% acetic acid. It's very mild. They do sell one that is 7.5 or up to 9%. That's called pickling vinegar. It's used for cleaning. It's stronger. But even when it dries, there is not much of a fragrance. So put another fragrance on it that is vibrant. Scott, it's so wonderful to chat with you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, no, really, because last night I was going over one of my books, and I had forgotten, it was the Heloise Beauty book, and I had forgotten about essential oils and how certain essential, you know how when you're in a room or you're on an airplane or something and somebody peels an orange, doesn't that smell good?
It does.
You can smell it. Well, anything citrus, orange, lemon, lime, grapefruit, is very uplifting. It makes you aware, you know, oh, that smells good. So if you want to stay alert, and you need to stay alert, or you get a little drowsy, lime, lemon, anything citrus. And then on the other side, the dichotomy of that is calming and relaxing. And those are scents, lavender, rosemary, things like that, that you just, oh, that's nice. And it kind of calms you down. So if your household is chaotic, then the scent you need is something that is relaxing. Lavender, rosemary. You know, did you ever, we used to have a neighbor in Hawaii that, oh, God bless that woman. She baked all the time. She had a large family. And you could smell, she would do cinnamon cake and pineapple upside down cake. And some of, and you could smell them coming from that household. And you're like, oh, that smells good. But then if you smell something very citrusy, oh, she's cleaning again. So think in terms, and your sense of smell. We know how dogs and cat. You know, dog hounds, hound dogs, you know, their sense of smell. You know, they can smell anything, and it'll take them to the right spot. And when, here's the example. One of our, we've had, been very, very lucky to have three miniature schnauzers part of our family. And wonderful dogs, by the way. Highly, they call them the dog with a human brain. They're very intelligent, so you must train them, but you love them also. And one of our dogs, she became diabetic. Dogs do become diabetic. We had to give her insulin shots. I learned from the vet how to do it. And then she went blind because of that. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I hate to just give her. So I would take the vial of insulin and hold it up to her nose, and she knew what it was. Then we had the carpets cleaned. Well, she was kind of like wandering around the house, and I thought, well, what's going on? Her scent trails that she tracked had been removed. So David and I took off our shoes and walked around the house, kind of shuffling our feet, from the bedroom to the kitchen, from her dog bed to the kitchen, to her dog bowl and water bowl, so that she could follow that scent. She could find her food, and she could find us.
You know, that's interesting, because I was just thinking, so if I've got a friend who is stressed out, And scents are important. Mm-hmm. I need to get lavender, so I should buy them like a jug of laundry detergent, and they'll calm down.
If it indeed has lavender in it, yes. Think in terms, you know, when you're a kid and you come home from school and you smell a cake baking or cookies, it's like, oh, okay. It's our sense of smell with all the senses that we have, you know, between touch, hearing, sight, smell, taste. The sense of smell is one of the most acute and immediate. And so think of smelling salts. When people faint, they used to use, because that goes right up your nose, through your olfactory, into your brain, and the brain, whichever side of the brain it is, or where the spot is, goes, oh, I know that smell. And so just think in terms of your environment. When you have guests over, you want it to smell inviting. Welcome to my home. And one of our neighbors, when I used to live here in San Antonio, I lived on a very short street called Dove Mountain, and it was a cul-de-sac. So there were only 8 or 10 houses. Well, I'd come back from a trip or something, and I'd get out of the car, and sometimes I'd park in the driveway, and sometimes in the garage, and I'd park in the driveway, and I would smell chocolate chip cookies. And I thought, oh, Miss So-and-so is baking chocolate chip cookies. I think I need to go visit her and return the cup of flour I borrowed.
It's a good reminder.
It is.
It's a good reminder.
It truly is.
Now, Heloise, I want to make sure we get this in today because, boy, a lot of people are being confronted with this issue this fall,
yes.
And that is being a teacher and a parent.
Yes.
How do we do it?
It's difficult. It is. And I learned from my father. Excuse me. And when I was getting my teacher's certificate, if you can allow the person you're teaching through your thought process, as in, okay, now, why do we turn the smoke detector on when we're roasting something or other? Because that smoke might set off the smoke detector. Or conversely, if we want the home to smell inviting and happy and we're kind of thing, you want an uplifting smell. So when you're, for that respect, you know, something invigorating, lemon, lime, some of those are just, it hits your sense of olfactory and it brings, oh yeah, you know, it is a nice day.
And it's so nice for, you know, I just think, because I worry about what's going on right now in people's homes, because people are not equipped to be teachers. And I think that people, because they're also doing their job, too. There are people working from home, people still who have to go to work every day. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that time management's going on.
It's if you've never been in that situation before, it can be chaotic in your mind. But as I always try to, you know, think the process. What do we need to do? What is most important? And if it's you're going to be teaching your children or helping them, be sure you want to be consistent. Set the same time and use the same space every day. It's either 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock, not after lunch, because after lunch, depending on your lunch, you may be a little sleepy, or maybe it's 10 a.m. We're going to sit at the table, and this is our time to learn. And once you get into that routine and that habit, then it becomes natural, and it's not unusual. You get more relaxed, and you learn more from the lesson.
Now, how do you feel about kids having school at home in their pajamas?
Well, I'm hardly one to talk since I'm doing this show in my bathroom. But I've got on lipstick and eyeshadow. It depends on the child. You know, the old saying used to be, Sunday clothes, meaning you're going to go to church, you're going to go to the mosque, you're going to go to synagogue on Friday night, you know, you wear certain clothes, that puts your mind in that right frame. So you need to decide what works for you and your children.
Well, and it's true, and you know, if the kid should happen to be groggy, all you have to do is get the smelling salts out, and everything will be fine. I'll tell you, I about needed the smelling salts the morning I came in, and that key wasn't there for the restroom.
I have been there. I mean, I know that fear, and there was one time, and I was there, and I, you know, when I visit these stations, you get to know the security people and the receptionist and some of the board ops, and it's like a small family. Everybody has their routine, and they had one DJ who drank coffee like it was just, you know, glug, 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 glug. Well, generally when you drink a lot of coffee like that, real caffeine coffee, yes, you're awake, but your bladder is getting pretty full. The whole station knew. He would hit the mute button, which supposedly what you're saying doesn't go out over the air, and he would tell his producer, I'm hitting the hallway in 3 minutes. And they would actually announce over the intercom, clear the hallway.
You know, the most interesting thing about that is, to me, when you realize that it's gone, and there's nothing you can do about it at that point, the ideas for Plan B on how to handle this problem.
Yes.
Become very creative. You become all of a sudden a very creative person on how you might handle this problem.
And that's why it's important for situations like that, and like all of us now, because of the pandemic, you know, our lives have been altered dramatically. And a lot of people have never had this humongous event alter their lives. And it can be upsetting. It can be challenging. Is, you know, stop. Let's think about the process. What can we do to make it more conducive to our family, to our coworkers, to make it homogeneous, I think that's the right term. And once you do that and tell everybody here, you know, people do get a sense of calm.
And if you don't find that key, the last thing you are is calm.
Well, if you don't find the key, do you know there was one DJ? There was one DJ. And he drank coffee. I could see him. I can't remember his name, thankfully. But he kept like a urinal thing, a porta urinal, in his studio.
Oh.
Because he didn't have time.
I bet guests appreciated that.
Well, I know. Well, generally, yeah, depending on, you know, that kind of thing, I'm like, I think that's more information than I really want to know.
Maybe he felt open with you, Heloise. Maybe,
well,
maybe he wanted to know how to clean it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It could have been one of those moments. You never know.
Yes, could have been one of those moments.
We got to let the audience know that Heloise will now be with us every third Thursday of the month from this time period, 9, 10 to 10 a.m. Eastern time. And next time it will almost be Halloween. Will we be having Halloween? Who knows? We'll figure it out. But we'll find out all kinds of great stuff to do. Heloise, my goodness, it's always a great pleasure, and I'm glad we're back on a regular basis.
I am too, and to all of your listeners and you, Scott, go out and make it a great day.
Thank you, Heloise.
Bye-bye.
The one and only queen of helpful hints, Heloise. You can read her column in Good Housekeeping or one of the many books she's written over the years. Glenn Coble coming up next. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
.com. Also, check us out by downloading the TuneIn app on your cell phone or your favorite mobile device.
Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone 402-2-0062.